Brought to you on UK Health Radio, The Natural Beauty Show, an in-depth look at the beauty issues that affect you. The menopause is a subject that continues to come up for us on The Natural Beauty Show. I think because there's a lot of media coverage of this life stage, with lots of celebrities speaking out about their experiences and everyday women wanting to get involved in the much needed conversation. I read a news story recently that attempted to belittle this dialogue, and I have to be honest, I was shocked. Although most women would agree the menopause is not an illness or a disability, it does have a profound impact upon their lives as these shifts and changes occur physiologically, mentally, and emotionally. And there's still so much to be done to support women during this period of change within both the workplace and at home. So to that end, we are going to continue to be a source of information and an outlet for discussion for women on this topic. And we'll start by hearing from a natural menopause expert who specialises in supporting women who choose not to use the more traditional route of HRT, but instead look towards homeopathy for help. So joining me now is Sarah Davison, who is a natural menopause expert and homeopath. Lovely to have you on the show, Sarah. Let's start by talking about the perception of the menopause in society. We've done a lot of talk over the last few weeks, actually, about what the menopause is, because I'm very aware that a lot of women didn't really understand it. But now let's shift the pace a little. And, you know, all of us, we have this horrid conception of what the menopause is going to leave us like, don't we? And what do you think is going wrong there?
Yeah, I think that's such a good question, Natalie. I think it's because in our Western culture, and I'm not sure this applies in all Eastern cultures, but in Western cultures, there is a bias towards youth. Our culture is all about youth and beauty. And as a result of that, a lot of women are socialized and educated unconsciously to attach their identity and their value to how beautiful and youthful they are. Yeah. So you can imagine if your identity is tied up with that, when you see menopause coming, you think it's the beginning of the end. Mm. And not only do we have a bias towards youth and beauty, but we, by the same token, we revile, we push away, we don't like the idea of aging. Mm. That's why, you know, you get anti-aging this and anti-aging that, and everybody wants to, you know, stay youthful and beautiful. And I think that taboo, apart from the kind of the extra taboo around women's bodies, you know, and I think in terms of that, menopause is the last taboo. But we have also this cultural thing about youth and beauty. And so, yeah, I think that makes it extra difficult for women.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always grown up with the idea that the menopause means that's a time in my life where, firstly, I'm really old and I'm fully grey haired and I'm basically a frump that's not attractive to anyone, let alone myself. Do you think that's a common misconception shared by women?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of assumptions in what you just said. So the first assumption is that it happens when you're very old, you know, so that's why women in their 40s, when perimenopause starts, have no idea. And I was one of them. You know, at 45, I crashed into perimenopause because the amount of stress in my life. And I actually went through perimenopause without realizing that's what it was, because at the time I wasn't a homeopath. I was, you know, I was in the corporate world as a consultant, a change agent. And it was very intense. And I had a child really late. So I had a child at 41 and the stress of the job and the baby just literally made me crash into perimenopause. So I think, yes, this idea that it happens somewhere out there, way past 50, when you're turning into an old woman is wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to explore that a little bit more, because I know off air we were talking about the fact that I'm in my early 40s now, but yeah. I actually now realise, similar to you, didn't realise at the time, but in my late 30s, I started to experience the perimenopause. And I also put it down to stress. And, you know, I had a real life changing situation going on. It was incredibly emotional. It's incredibly upsetting. And I just thought all of these strange things going on with my body were simply that. And then, you know, my life's become a lot lot smoother now, flash forward, and yet those symptoms still pop up. And I actually mentioned to you that when I'm feeling anxious, they seem to be worse. And you explained to me, I think it'd be really useful for our listeners to hear this, because I'm sure there'll be women of that similar age that might, there might be a sort of light bulb going off there. Yeah. So how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a really good question, because I think, you know, even if you can just know this one thing, if you're a woman in your mid-30s, you know, to 50, this is something that you really need to know, which is that the ovaries start to wind down very slowly, you know, in your late 30s. And you may not see anything particularly as a result of that, depending on the state of your whole system. So the thing is that you know, we tend to be given the idea that menopause is just to do with our ovaries winding down. But the thing is that the effect of our ovaries winding down has a systemic wide effect on all of us. And the biggest, or one of the biggest effects, is that when the ovaries wind down, what is supposed to pick up the slack on some of the production of the estrogen and the progesterone, our sex hormones, are our adrenal glands. So our adrenal glands sit on our kidneys and they produce our stress hormones. So if we are leading in our 30s and early 40s really, really stressy lives, be it that we have, you know, a very high pressure job, or and or a family, and or maybe we're going through relationship issues, or, you know, breakups, issues with kids, whatever it might be, that stress means that you're starting your perimenopausal journey with tired adrenals.
Yeah.
Which means that when the ovaries start to wind down, the adrenals can't pick up the slack on the production of those tests, on the production of those hormones that we need so badly. So you get all these fluctuations and symptoms. And then the other thing to say is that when your estrogen goes down, it, there's less of it to oppose your cortisol, which is a stress hormone. So that's why so many women find their stress going through the roof. Because as their estrogen falls, then their cortisol goes up further. So you just, I found, and I'm, you know, maybe you did too, and I think this is a watch out for a lot of women, if you're finding that you're getting stressed so much more easily, that you're less resistant to pressure, then, you know, that could be a sign.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Gosh, I can really relate to this. It's unbelievable. And it's interesting, because talking to Heather Jackson, you know, one of the co-founders of Gen M, who we both know very well, you know, she actually mentioned her first recognition of going into perimenopause was she was rushed into hospital thinking she'd had a heart attack. It was actually her very first ever panic attack.
Yes.
So it goes to show that it was just that stress just hit.
Very, very common. So when your adrenals are really fatigued like that, you get all sorts of corollary things, like you can have trouble with sleep, trouble with anxiety, you can put on weight more easily, you can get hot flushes as a result of the adrenals being, you know, very tired and a bit kind of jumpy and all over the place. I mean, I do actually an adrenal fatigue test with my clients,
really? Okay.
To see how many of these symptoms they have. So I know which organs I have to support in the treatment.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, going back around, looping around to where we started with, mm-hmm. you know, a woman's self-esteem and how she feels she's looking and presenting herself, it's just a nightmare.
It's
a bit of a downward spiral, really, unless we get control of it.
That's right. And, you know, something I didn't mention earlier in the conversation about beauty is that beauty, you know, our society defines beauty as youthful beauty. But there are other types of beauty, and what I feel is really missing in our society, and, you know, I don't think this is going to change overnight, but is that there is a beauty that comes from the inside as well. Mm. You know, I'm sure you've met, you know, women or people, men, you know, as well, that there's something really lovely about them as a person, and that shines through, and it's more than just what they look like physically.
Yeah.
And I think that when we come to this age as women, you know, what adds to our beauty is the fact that we have all this life experience, all this self-knowledge, which has led to more confidence. We have wisdom and clarity. And I think that also, you know, we've had more heart-opening experiences, be it love, loss, raising kids. And so that makes us more compassionate and more empathic. And I think there's beauty that comes from that.
Well, let's move on to the sort of treatments that you can offer then. So, you know, as I have explained, you know, I've been doing a lot of exploration of the perimenopause and menopause. And really, I've uncovered two very significant findings. One, most women don't even recognise they're in the perimenopause. They don't recognise the symptoms. And number two, once they kind of have an idea that it might be that, they don't know what to do about treating the symptoms, about helping themselves to manage and alleviate, in some cases, the symptoms. So at what stage do women tend to come to you for help?
Oh, gosh, they come at all different stages. You know, some are very awake to their bodies and something's not right. And they know about, you know, they've done their research and they know. So they may come quite early on in perimenopause, which is a really good place to start. And that's actually how I ended up doing what I do, because I had seen, you know, since I was something like, I don't know, 25, 30, I'd been awake to homeopathy for a while. I'd seen a homeopath path on and off, but never for anything really very challenging. And then this kind of perimenopausal burnout came along for me. And I went, oh, I need to go back to my homeopath. And the results were so amazing that I actually went and did a degree in homeopathic medicine. But, you know, when it comes to natural, you know, there are lots of different choices. So women can come to me at that early stage, or they can come, you know, they sometimes come when they're really deep in it and they've got, like, on my questionnaire, you know, they might have 20 plus symptoms. And the symptoms, you know, they're so broad ranging, as you know, from mental, emotional, you know, the skin, bones, cartilage, everything, urinary tract, mood, hot flushes, etc. So they may come to me later, and they may come to me in postmenopause. So, you know, some places I read that says, they say, oh, well, you know, perimenopause is the worst bit. And then once you've had your menopause, so just for your listeners' sake, you know, clinically speaking, menopause is actually only one day in your life. So it's the day when it's been a year since you last had a period. So anything after that is clinically called postmenopausal. And some places I read, they say, oh, well, it gets better. Then it just depends. Everybody has it differently. You know, for me, I went to my homeopath. I didn't know it was perimenopause at the time. And I had such a smooth perimenopause because of homeopathy that, you know, I pretty much cruised until I had my last period. And literally the day after my last period stopped, suddenly, boom, hot flushes, insomnia, just like a switch. Yeah. And obviously, so when I'm treating the menopause in women, I need to follow where the body is. You know, homeopathy had got me through perimenopause. And then there was a big step down from my ovaries, obviously, when I had my last period. So suddenly the reduction in hormones. And so I went back to my homeopath and got it sorted that way.
Yeah. I mean, I was mentioning to you earlier again that, you know, for me, I'm not worried about HRT. Now, HRT, hormone replacement therapy, is something that we're all very familiar with. You know, we've all heard that term. And I think it's probably, I think it's fair to say that for most women, they assume that they'll end up on HRT at some point. Now, there, of course, is a massive tribe of women, of which I am definitely one, that says, actually, I've lived my life really naturally. I'm not worried about breast cancer and those sorts of side effects. That doesn't worry me. What concerns me is going down that kind of traditional medicine route that I've actually avoided for most of my life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what do you offer that's different? You know, you're mentioning homeopathy. How does it look when someone comes to you and says, okay, you know, similar to me, I really need some help here. What natural help is there for me?
So with homeopathy, are you asking me about what the process would be?
Yeah.
So it's a very holistic process in that when you come to me, I would probably do a 2-hour intake session. Because what I'm looking at, so to put this in context, I've got like 3,000 homeopathic medicines in our Materia Medica, as we call it. And, you know, for hot flushes, there are 551 medicines alone. So we need to get away from the mainstream conventional medicine idea that it's one ill, one pill. So I'm having to look holistically, and what homeopathy, the way homeopathy thinks about illness and health differently is that we see a link between the mind and the body. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking for all the possible triggers of this woman's symptoms.
Yeah.
So to give you an example, it might be, you know, like the person who came to me who was just absolutely on the edge of burnout. So we, in my programs, we do the Dutch test, which is a very advanced state-of-the-art hormonal test. And, you know, she was, she was the typical woman in of the sandwich generation. So she got kids at home, she had a husband, and she had a sick mother living with her, and she was running her own business as a lawyer.
Yeah, I mean, so, and
she was she was trying to please everyone. So with someone like her, you know, we would have to support her adrenals, but also give her homeopathic medicines to address the emotional weakness there, which is not having good enough boundaries. So I'm, when I'm doing that 2-hour intake session, I'm looking at the ancestry, I'm looking at the life story and where the emotional wounds are that might be contributing to it, as well as the physical illnesses in the history and the physical symptoms now. So to give you another example, another woman came to me with very strong postmenopausal symptoms, and she'd gone into menopause, you know, way back when, but she was still really struggling with it. And the first question that a homeopath will always ask is, what was going on around the time that your symptoms started? And I thought she would say, well, I went into menopause, but it wasn't that. She said, yes, my symptoms got worse in menopause, but these kind of symptoms started 20 years ago when I lost my husband.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
She had a young baby, literally just been born, and her husband died, and she never got over it. So one of the remedies for the homeopathic medicines for her was to address her grief. You know, a similar woman could barely get out of bed, you know, again, in a kind of state of burnout. Similar thing when I looked at her history and I was discussing, because I collaborate with a nutritionist around the testing. And the nutritionist was telling me, you know, she's making enough of her stress hormones, her cortisol, but she's using them up too quickly, as Julie puts it, she had a hole in a bucket. Yeah. And I said, I know what the hole in the bucket is. She hasn't got over the loss of her mother, because I'd done a session with her and it was stopping her from getting to sleep. So the minute I gave her grief remedies, it actually got her sleeping. And then, of course, sleep helps everything.
Yeah, of course.
So it's quite a long process where I'm identifying what is the underlying cause and taking multiple things into account. You then get prescribed your medicines, you take them, you make a note of what happens, and then you come back to me in 3 to 4 weeks and tell me what happened, and then I tweak and adjust.
Yeah.
And it's a dynamic process. Again, I might find, you know, I will find the right remedy for you at that time, but you will move through your medicines. So you might start off on something, you know, medicine A, and then as you use that up your system, you go into another layer, an earlier layer in your system.
Yeah.
It's very complex what I'm saying.
No, it's brilliant. I mean, for anyone listening to this show, you know, this show's all about people that are really into their wellness and their holistic approach to their lifestyle. So, I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. And actually, I'm thinking, gosh, you know, yeah, I wonder what holes I've got. I'm pretty sure I've got quite a few related to history. And it makes a lot of sense to me.
Can I just add one thing, which is to say that the other way that I work, because you say, how do I work? My view is that nutrition is an absolutely must have. It's a foundation stone. So that's why in my programs I collaborate with a nutritionist, a functional nutritionist, and we do the testing, because I can give homeopathic medicines, but if you are, you know, eating too much sugar and drinking loads of coffee because you've got adrenal fatigue and you're doing burnout and you're supposed to, it's going to stop the medicines actually doing what they need to. It's like you need to do the groundwork.
Yeah.
Nutrition, it's a no-brainer that you must, to get better in any way, you need to sort your nutrition.
And I expect, you know, during that time of perimenopause and menopause, you know, what you eat, the quality of what you eat is essential, isn't it? Because I assume there are a lot of foods that will really help your body through this stage.
Yes.
Are there recommended foods that you always recommend to women that see you?
Well, I mean, it's mainly Julie who does that, but because she's a nutritionist. But, you know, I think the place to start is taking out the things that don't, that make, yeah, make it worse. So particularly if you've got the stress, burnout, exhaustion, people with that adrenal fatigue, as we call it, tend to prop themselves up with caffeine and sugar. And that is like flogging an exhausted horse when it's down.
Yeah.
And so you need to cut out, or, you know, if that's too difficult, because I know how addictive those things are, at least reduce the sugar, the caffeine, the alcohol, the stuff that's going to affect your liver, and then put lots of green veg in. Flax, ground flax seeds is really great because it helps the body mimic estrogen. Yeah. And there are lots of estrogenic foods, but it is also quite, again, it's quite a tailored thing. As to where you are and where your weaknesses are. You know, are your weaknesses in your adrenals or your liver, your gut? You know, we have a whole family of bacteria in our gut called the estrobilome or the estrobilome that regulates estrogen.
Yeah, okay.
So if you're eating the wrong thing, or maybe you've got a history of taking synthetic hormones, or I don't know, acne drugs, those are some of the worst, or Accutane. Those affect the liver and the microbiome in the gut, and that's going to affect your estrogen levels as well. So it's a complex
thing. Complex, but I mean, exciting, I think. You know, let's flip this on its head. It's actually a time in a woman's life where, you know, rather than things falling apart, it's a time where you can actually take back a lot of control over how you feel inside and out. You know, that to me, you're thinking about, actually, it's a time where it's necessary for me to look at my diet and my lifestyle and, you know, how I'm going to approach this amazing chapter in my life. And I find that really invigorating, actually. I think, you know, it's brilliant. What a great position to be in as a woman.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, I've coined this term, the hidden gift of menopause. And the way I explain it to my clients is that when menopause comes along, or perimenopause specifically, it's a bit like you are a house where you have papered over the cracks in the walls, be them their emotional weaknesses, like maybe not having very good boundaries, not being very good at saying no, or maybe you have digestive weaknesses, like you suffer from constipation or bloating or whatever it might be, that are kind of general weaknesses that you've just either ignored or you've kind of papered over during the years. Now, when menopause comes along, it's like the ground shifting under your house and all those cracks just burst wide open and you can't paper them over any longer.
Yeah.
You have to address them. Now, that sounds like it's difficult, and it can be, but it's an opportunity to really do some in-depth healing, because every woman that I've spoken to out the other side of menopause who did it naturally goes, this is the best thing. I'm in the best period of my life. Mm. I feel empowered. I don't care what other people think so much. I'm finding a new direction in my life. I'm happier and more fulfilled than I've ever been.
Yeah. And that's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah.
And so, yeah. So it's a bit like being in the chrysalis.
Yeah.
You know, the caterpillar actually liquefies its body and reconstitutes it into a butterfly. So it's like a birth process. There's a butterfly out the other end, but that chrysalis bit can be a bit difficult.
A bit bumpy,
you know. And so I also think of menopause as a bit like a rebirth phase, but it's a rebirth of us, of who we really are.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you find, are there a growing number of women that are looking at a more natural route? Are you finding that?
I don't know whether it's growing, but certainly, you know, I do fine in terms of getting clients and you know, there are various different studies that I've looked at from the British Menopause Society has a patient arm. They quote a study that says 95% of women would rather avoid taking HRT and follow alternative routes. The Menopause Room on Instagram did a poll of 3,000 women. 58% said that they would rather do it naturally. So I think it's just a preference. You know, someone would rather go down the hormone route and someone would rather do it naturally. And I think, fine, whatever you choose.
Yeah.
All I would say is for the people doing it naturally, I think the biggest mistake that those women often make is they try self-prescribing because they have in their head one ill, one pill. So they think, oh, well, there'll be a pill out there that's natural that I can take. And then they go and self-prescribe black cohosh or red clover. Now, it's not that these things don't work. They do. But in natural medicine, it's such a different ballgame. You know, as I said, in homeopathy, because the black cohosh and red clover are actually herbalism, but there will be many, many different herbs. And that's why you need a herbalist to work out which ones are going to work for you. So it's very hit and miss if you self-prescribe. Yeah. And if you're self-prescribing herbs, it can be risky because they do have their side effects. So of course. Yeah. There's this misconception that, you know, natural is harmless.
Yeah, well, we say this a lot on beauty, obviously Sacred, my beauty products, they're clean. But I always make the point of saying, you know, just because something's natural doesn't mean to say it's safe. And just because something's synthetic doesn't mean to say it's harmful. You know, yes. Actually, one of the most harmful things out there comes from an apple pip when you get cyanide, yeah. So and arsenic. Yes. So, you know, you think, well, that's crazy. But, you know, that's the truth of it. So, yes. Well, this has been really useful, I think. And I think, you know, what's been important to me with addressing the topic of perimenopause and menopause on this show is that, you know, I think it's great if women can see everything in front of them. You can make an informed and educated choice for yourself, can't you? And no, there's no right or wrong way. There's just your way. There's your personal choice. And that's the empowerment bit.
Yes.
So I think that's really important.
Yes. I think you're right. Because I think for many, many women, and I was one of them, when they enter their 40s, they don't know what they don't know. So, you know, even though there's a lot of menopause education out there and that it's a growing trend and it's, you know, it's coming to light now, I still think there are many, many women who, when they hear about menopause education, think, oh, that's not for me.
Yeah.
I'm 40 and, you know, I'm only 40 and I've still got a period.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, but how wrong.
Perimenopause yeah. starts when you have a period and it can last 2 to 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, my periods are very regular. Happy to share that. Happy to put that yes. out there to women. But yeah, I still suffer these symptoms. So, you know, I was one of those women that thought, well, it can't be that. And then suddenly, I mean, I've had the luxury, of course, of being able to speak to lots of experts. So yes. for me, it's been a little bit easier. But putting this information out there is the most important thing, yes. I think. Where yeah. can people find out a bit more about you, the services yeah. you offer? Both online and on social media.
Sure. So my website is www.thrivehomeopathy.com. And on social media, on Instagram, I'm at Natural Menopause Expert. That's probably the best place to find me. I'm also on LinkedIn and Facebook and stuff, but that yeah. Instagram is probably the place.
That's the real go-to I mean. These days, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah
brilliant. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your input, Sarah. It's been really eye-opening, and I'm hopeful that for a lot of women, you know, the natural route, it becomes their chosen route.
But it's been a real pleasure.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
We've covered quite a lot about menopause on the show, but we haven't really touched on something quite important, and that's makeup. Now, makeup can obviously play quite a significant role in a woman's life when she's trying to alleviate the more visible signs and symptoms of the menopause, such as hot flushes and reddening cheeks. So joining me now is celebrity makeup artist Gia Mills, who is the founder of makeup brand Skin in Motion. This is a really exciting brand, actually.
Gia set this up when she heard that around 75% of women are put off things like exercise or retaining their lifestyle because of their appearance. And your makeup is quite unique for that. So welcome to the show. Let's start by talking about who you are and what your journey has been in the beauty industry.
Thank you so much for having me on. And I'm really excited to kind of share what we've been up to and just enjoy talking to you about all the things that you're passionate about, Natalie. So thank you. So my name's Gia. My background, I originally started in advertising, and then I moved into become a makeup artist, and had loved what makeup can do to give people confidence and feel good. I've done lots of celebrities, Hollywood actors, a whole host of different types of clients over the years, and it's a really beautiful job to be able to do. And I'm also massively into fitness, and I found out that a lot of women, as you said, are put off exercise by how they look. Which for me is terrible, because I think for me, exercise is like therapy. And it's the one thing I can do that makes me feel better, that I can, you know, when the world is falling apart around you, your life's not going great, if you can get out and move, it has miraculous mental and physical sort of, you know, ways of healing you. And so when I thought, gosh, there's no one really offering products that are designed for fitness. For example, when you sweat, it's not, you know, there's no products out there that you can quickly remove sweat. If you're going off after a hot yoga class to meet some friends and you suddenly got sweat all over your face, there's nothing designed for that. There's women who want that bit of confidence when they go to the gym, a little bit of coverage, maybe a little bit of mascara that stays on, but the, you know, the makeup is breathable, it's sweat proof, but it's fit for purpose. So I thought, my gosh, there's no one delivering this out there. So off I trotted, and 2 years ago we launched in 2020 Skin Emotion, which is essentially primarily designed for people who like to move, but it's also got many other benefits to different life stages, different needs, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, some people listening into the show will say, well, what do you need makeup for when you're doing, you know, fitness or activity or whatever? But, you know, I always say beauty isn't just a vanity project. It's a confidence thing, isn't it? It's all about self-esteem and all about how, you know, feeling ready to go out there in the world and to, you know, to feel like you're presenting yourself in the best way. And so it's actually for a lot of women, it's a real necessity, isn't it? It's as important to them as their face creams or their deodorant. Is that something you've come across with your customers?
Yeah, you know, it's their little confidence boosters. It's not, we are in no way saying to people you should not be confident in who you are and have to wear makeup when you're going out exercising, you know, for whatever, you know, whether it can also be summer or all sorts of things, but it's just, if it gives you that confidence to feel a little bit more yourself, then we've done our job. And people know they've got something that's there that's healthy for their skin, it's breathable, it's going to stay on. That is what is important to give you that confidence. And being a makeup artist, I've seen that more than anything. Someone will come and sit in the chair, they'll feel a bit like, you're not feeling my best. Literally, you do, you know, you put a bit of makeup on and it doesn't need to be loads. And suddenly people, like, you know, this like whole energy changes in them and they're like, oh, I feel like I'm ready to face the world. And that is what we're trying to do. I just want people to feel that little bit of like oomph, you know, that's the goal of what we're trying to do. There's real purpose behind it, and it's not just about, you know, it's lots of liquids, but what they can actually do to change your mindset and how you feel is really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And in this episode in particular, we've been talking a lot about the menopause. It comes up quite a lot at the moment. It's a real topic that, thank goodness, actually at last is being, you know, spoken about quite widely within the media. And, you know, for a lot of women, how makeup responds on the skin, and let's talk about those horrible hot flushes that happen as well. You know, women experience, you know, makeup either just being completely absorbed into the skin and just looks like you've got nothing on, or sliding off the skin, which is even worse. How do your products help with those sorts of symptoms?
Well, there's your two sides. So we do the skincare and the makeup side. Mm-hmm. So from a skincare point of view, if you are getting hot sweats, sweat is great, but it's not good to leave on your skin. And if you kind of feel actually you need to remove it for whatever reason, we have brilliant sweat removing products. So we have, which we've just launched, a witch hazel water that is brilliant and on the go. I'm going to show you a picture and be putting it on.
Oh, lovely. That's so amazing.
It's a little pump. It's really easy to put in your handbag. And we've got bamboo cotton pads that you literally can it just dissolves the sweat on the go. And it's not drying on the skin. It's not an astringent. Mm. And then we have mists, cooling, calming, hydrating mists. So hot flushes, they're perfectly designed. So you can have them in your handbag. So when you're feeling that heat come up, and you kind of can't get to go outside or find somewhere cool, particularly with the summer coming, mm-hmm. these are brilliant. We had a lovely quote from Nadine Badgett, that lovely beauty journalist, who said at night she keeps it by her bedside table, and so she can spray herself when she's overheating, because it's got mint in it, so it's really refreshing. It's also got licorice, so that it takes down redness if you're out and about, and then it's got hyaluronic acid, which hydrates. So it's just trying to, it's looking at, you know, because we're part of Gen M that we were talking about, and lovely Heather who set it up. It's about letting people be aware of what the menopause symptoms are, because there are a lot. Mm-hmm. Depending on which one you've got, here are some products that can help you. So that's the skincare side. And the makeup side, you know, when you get hot, your eyes water and your mascara can run. And we've got brilliant Panda Eye Proof mascara. We've got waterproof. Then we've got the tinted moisturizer that is breathable and sweatproof. This is a patented technology that's called Need Technology, and you can mix lots of different types of liquids together, which historically would never gel. So we've got argan oil, so it's hydrating. So you can, as you go through the menopause, your skin dries out. Mm. So it's going to hydrate, but it's going to keep the, you know, it's going to allow your skin to breathe. So you're not putting a really heavy foundation on. And it's also sweat proof. So you're not going to get that really sort of cloggy look. And so it's just trying to design the products that work well when someone is having some of the symptoms. We don't sort of cure, you know, we're not a cure all by any means. It's just allowing you to cope better. And going back to the confidence thing, that you feel like if you are having a hot sweat, you don't feel your mascara is running, your makeup's running. If you do want to kind of clean your skin, you've got easy things on the go.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that's all women can ask for, really, isn't it? So as a celebrity makeup artist, you've obviously, you know, worked with some quite big names that we'd all be familiar with. Tell us a bit about the sorts of people that you've worked with. I'm sure people listening into the show would be interested to hear of, you know, the sorts of faces that you've made up and who would be interested in your products.
Well, we've done all sorts, and it's such a privilege to meet so many different people from so many different walks of life. And I think everyone always likes to, you know, as we all do, it's like that sort of curiosity about famous people. Mm. And I've kind of done everyone from the lovely Joanna Lumley. Yes. So she was absolutely the most heavenly person to work with. Yep. I've done makeup on Pamela Anderson.
Oh, fantastic.
So interesting, all, you know, all different age groups. I've worked with athletes. So I've done Jessica Ennis just after she won her gold medal. Oh. So that was really interesting, you know, working with athletes. And I love working with athletes, and I do quite a lot of men as well. So I do the grooming side, and all our products work really well with men, which is really nice because it's all undetectable. So I've worked with Andy Murray, Sergio Ramos, a football player. I was doing Louis Theroux last week.
Oh wow.
And just as a whole, you know, there's a lovely list. And then I've worked with lots of politicians, so people in the cabinet, done lots of the women there. So you have, you know, you just get amazing conversations with so many different people, and it's, I just love meeting the people. It's just fascinating and making them feel good and confident. It's a very interesting job, actually.
And it must really inform the sort of products that you want to bring to market as well. Just talking to people and working with them. I think it's really different when, you know, if you are actually hands-on with people's faces and their appearance all of the time, similar with sort of hairstylists, you know, that bring out hair brands, you know, you kind of get a real good feel for what sort of products are missing in the market, don't you?
Yeah, and I think people, what I've seen, there are sort of two camps. You've got the really, you know, the sort of full-on makeup look, which gives people confidence, and it's a look. But I'm seeing more of a trend for the more skinimalist look, the simplification, the not too many ingredients and not too many products. And it's just making it easy. It's not, you know, you don't have to spend hours getting ready. I think and we're all becoming more and more accepting of all our flaws in many ways, all the advertising, et cetera. It's showing, you know, like the razor blade ads and stuff, they're showing women not being perfect. Yeah. And it's about makeup that allows you to feel a bit confident, that gives you a little bit of kind of coverage and look, you know, but it's not, it's that natural showing you coming through. Mm. And that's something I see a lot more people wanting. They're looking after their skin. They don't want to cover it in loads of makeup. They just want to sort of have a few things that they can chuck on, feel good, off they go. And the lives are busier and they don't want it all to be all, too complicated.
Moving on then, let's talk a little bit more about the trends in skincare and makeup, because quite rightly, as you've just said, it's really changing, isn't it? I mean, if you think back even 10 years ago, you know, we were constantly being baffled by strange terminology and humongously long ingredients lists. And no one really questioned it. You know, the big beauty brands would come out and sort of state this brand new ingredient that we just all assume was wonderful and take their word for it. But now consumers are much more conscious about what are inside their beauty products, aren't they? Are you noticing that? And are you sort of, you know, responding to that with the sort of formulas that you're creating for Skin Emotion?
Well, I think people know a lot more about ingredients now. And thanks to the likes of The Ordinary and The Inky List, you know, there you can buy per ingredient, so to speak. So everyone knows what hyaluronic acid does. Everyone knows what salicylic does. I think the knowledge base is a lot better than it used to be, and people are really informed. So you can't baffle people too much anymore. You just need to be really honest about what's in your products. And I think overlaid also on that, and I know it's something that's you're very passionate about, but from years ago I started reading about what goes into ingredients, and there were some brilliant books, and no one seemed to be kind of into that. And I remember going to a sort of Soho House thing, doing a talk on clean beauty, and asking everyone, and everyone put their hand up here who's got a preference for organic, natural-based products. One person put their hand up and I was like, oh, gosh, yeah. I thought it was more popular than that. And as the years have progressed, more and more people are more keen to minimise, and I call it about minimising the toxicity in your products, because I think there are some things that you'll go, do you know what, I want a certain mascara that really stays put, for example, and it may not have the sort of 100% cleanest ingredients in it, but it's fit for purpose and it does what it needs to do. But then it's sort of layering up all your other products. So you just minimize where possible the toxicity in your products. And we've tried really hard. It's getting that fine balance between delivering against a need, but at the same time, reducing the toxicity, the cleanness, making it as clean as you possibly can. So it's, I think, you know, that is not going to stop. People are going to want to find products. You know, the demand is, there's a lot of demand on products. It's the packaging being sustainable. It's the ingredients being as clean as possible, but they also want the performance side. So it's just trying to find, for us, it's a constant sort of journey to try and find ingredients and formulas and products that work against a need, but at the same time are offering what is the trend.
Yeah.
Is getting cleaner and cleaner and being more sustainable, environmentally responsible. And I think that's where things are going, and we're trying to respond to that as best
absolutely.
We can.
Yeah, I think as an industry, it's a kind of industry grouped together approach, really, isn't it, that's needed, because you're quite right, you know, consumables products are at their height, you know, people are consuming more and more and more, and this doesn't just apply to beauty, it applies to every aspect of our lives, you know, we're highly consuming, and I suppose social media has contributed a lot to that, when we have access now to the sort of brands that maybe we wouldn't have been aware of before. If they weren't in the shops, we wouldn't have been aware of them, whereas now the world is really our oyster, and so it's all about brands coming together and saying, how do we do this in a kinder, a more gentle way, both for humans and for the environment? And I think, you know, thankfully the consumers on the whole are looking for that, which just, you know, I suppose that drives change as well, doesn't it? So tell me then about where people can find your products, because I know people are going to be listening in thinking, right, I want to know where I can buy some of these products.
Well, you can buy us on our website, which is www.skinemotion, so skininmotion.com, and you can buy the products there. And if you go in there, we're doing a special price promotion, 20% off any orders, which is naturalbeauty20 if they use that discount code. You can buy us on Look Fantastic, and you can also buy us on Amazon. And we are just talking to various retailers, but we will be in stores, because I think a lot of the retailers are loving the idea of what the offering is and how it fits people's lifestyles. But at the moment, it's our website and Look Fantastic and Amazon, they can find us.
Lovely. That's brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great to get to know you and to learn a bit more about this fantastic brand. But I mean, I think for most of us, you know, even if you're not particularly into exercise, we're all busy. We've got busy lifestyles. We're jumping from one head to the other. And so makeup and skin products like this sound really perfect to support that lifestyle.
It's for the menopause. It's just, you know, they work brilliantly for the menopause. Mm. Great for summer, going on holiday, the heat. Yeah. All of that's really good. Teen girls who stop exercising when they're quite young, these products help give them confidence. So it's just trying to the main focus is exercise, but it has all these wonderful other areas that it's, you know, people's needs that it supports, which is brilliant.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you, Natalie.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Boots have been on the UK high street for 170 years and has played a significant role for many of us when we've needed help and support for our well-being. It's that friendly, familiar body that we trust and love. So no surprises then that Boots are also stepping up to continue to support women through the menopause. And they want to ensure that women know they are here for them with advice and support from pharmacists, along with a wide range of products that will help with the common symptoms experienced by women at this time. Okay, so joining me now is Bina Mehta, who is a leading pharmacist at the Boots Piccadilly store. Lovely to have you with us today, Bina. The role of the pharmacist has really changed in terms of the consumer perception of it over the last few years, hasn't it? Where we all now realise you don't just have to go to your GP. The pharmacist is really skilled, very understanding of the human body and functions and what goes on there. And do you find more and more people coming to you for help and advice?
Yes, definitely. I think that pharmacist as a career and as a healthcare professional, the image of a pharmacist has really amplified, especially post-COVID as well, because we've been on the front line forever, ever since pharmacies have existed. And you don't need to have an appointment to see a pharmacist. You can just walk into your local pharmacy and have a conversation about any healthcare issues or advice that you need, or product advice or medical advice. Mm-hmm. And pharmacists are on hand. We're open, accessible hours, like longer hours, 7 days a week. And yes, so this we are on the forefront of primary healthcare.
Yeah, brilliant. And this particular program, we're talking about the menopause and the perimenopause. And, you know, for a lot of women, they don't necessarily recognise that the symptoms they're experiencing are the perimenopause. So can we start talking about some of the basics? How does, when a woman starts to enter perimenopause, how commonly do you find this starts to affect her body?
So anytime during the perimenopause stage in itself could be anything from a few months to a few years. It could be more than a couple of years as well. And anytime during this stage where the first sign is when your periods start becoming irregular is the first sign. And that's when you will essentially then, if you are between the age of 45 and 55 and your periods start becoming irregular, that's a good sign, because it could be that you're entering the perimenopausal stage. So the bodily changes could start anytime from that period, and it could last for up to over 2 years.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you mentioned then that more commonly it starts for women around 45, but some women these days are finding they're experiencing symptoms slightly before that age. Is that common to what you find?
Yes, it's quite common, because there is always going to be a small percentage of women that have like an earlier onset. Mm. And yes, it is, because at the moment people have lived through a lot of stress, especially in the last 2 or 3 years. And I believe something like stress could bring on an earlier onset.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's a campaigner, Gen M, that we're all quite familiar with on this show. I talk to them quite a lot. We use their knowledge and expertise to really get across this dialogue to women. And they identified in one of their reports that there are around 48 different menopausal symptoms. As a pharmacist, can women turn to you for advice on those individual symptoms? Is that something they can come in and talk to you about?
Yes, most definitely. Women can turn to a pharmacist at any point during the stages of menopause that they're going through. And unfortunately, there isn't a one size fits all. Different women will experience different types and different severity of symptoms. And at any point, if they feel that they need to take some supplements to alleviate some of these symptoms, alternatively, a lot of women choose to go on the hormone replacement therapy after speaking to their GPs, which is also what we call HRT. Mm-hmm. Then we dispense a lot of HRT prescriptions as well in our pharmacies. There's several different products that you can get in HRT prescriptions. They range anything from patches to creams to gels and to oral tablets as well. And a pharmacist is able to give advice on safe usage of HRT medication as well, and how to manage the side effects as well. So yes, they can come and speak to a pharmacist or a trained pharmacy advisor.
See, I think that's really reassuring for women to hear, actually, that, you know, you can go into a Boots, you can go up to the pharmacist, and they understand what you're going through, and they can give you that quality advice. And for most women, HRT, of course, hormone replacement therapy, is the more traditional route that women go down. But for some of the more, I want to say more minor, but they're not, because they're all life-changing symptoms that happen to a woman around this time. But what are the most common symptoms that women come to you with? Is it hot flushes? Is it, you know, changes in mood? Or what sort of symptoms are they?
So I would say, like, the most common symptoms that women present during their journey in menopause is hot flushes. Mm. They get, obviously, sweating is related to that as well. Yeah. They often complain of dryness, vaginal dryness, like, you know, any wet membranes, like dry mouth, dry eyes, and mainly vaginal dryness. Mm. And generally just feelings of like low mood, feelings of like tiredness, fatigue, like, oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just feel really, really tired all the time. And these are some of the most common symptoms that we have women presenting to us when they come into the pharmacy.
Yeah, and I've done a bit of research, and it's actually really impressive, because Boots obviously is a brand that we all know and trust, and there are quite a few products, aren't there, off-the-shelf products that women can use to alleviate some of these symptoms. And, you know, one of them being the Boots Vaginal Moisturising Gel, which I know has had amazing feedback from women, because you're quite right, at this time vaginal dryness really takes over, and it doesn't just sort of affect your sexual intimacy, it can affect your everyday and make you feel quite uncomfortable, especially if you're still working or a heavy commuter, and it can give you quite a bit of discomfort. And then you just mentioned their fatigue and just the feeling of lowness. Are things like supplements important for women at this time? Would that help them with that lower feeling?
Yes, definitely. We have quite a few menopause supplements that we sell, a big range in Boots, and a lot of them is a combination of vitamin and minerals, including iron in there, including all the vitamin Bs in there, like B1, B12, which helps with energy, which will also help to combat feelings of fatigue, tiredness, and reduce that hormonal imbalance as well.
I just want to sort of end by mentioning that Boots has a really very good, very informative area on their site, don't they? That's for menopause support. I know it can be found at boots.com. www.wellnessradio.com/menopause-support. And if any woman there is thinking she's experiencing any sort of perimenopausal or menopausal symptoms, unsure of what to do, I would recommend that's a really good starting point. And then secondly, go into Boots and talk to the pharmacist, like Bina's mentioned, and, you know, they're fully skilled, fully understanding, and there to help assist you and advise you at that stage in your life. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Bina. It's really insightful. And I think, you know, because Boots is such a known brand on our high streets, women do feel comfortable to come in and talk about this very confusing stage when you first enter it. So thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Brought to you on UK Health Radio, The Natural Beauty Show, an in-depth look at the beauty issues that affect you.